The group had taken 50 paces. The first few muties were crowding around the spit and tearing at the leftovers. After they'd taken 60 paces, the muties numbered in the dozens, and the gopher was all but gone. The basement of the main building on Fox Farm was cold, wet, and dark, and smelled of a variety of foul bodily fluids. This was where the problem breeders were brought who needed to be persuaded to rut. It was easier for them if they bred willingly, but it wasn't necessary for them to cooperate. Breeders could still get pregnant while being chained to the wall, and they birthed children after 9 months in the basement just as well as those breeders who worked on the farm during the day and rutted every night. Their offspring weren't as healthy as those of the farm workers, and they sometimes had to be put down, but it was still better to have them breed than send them away on a slave convoy. Fox paced under the dim light of an electric bulb, waiting for his sec-men to bring down the latest breeder who'd refused to rut. While he waited, he walked the length of one of the walls the breeders were chained to. The first one he came to was an old brunette woman who'd lived on the farm for years. She'd been one of his best producers, giving him twins twice and always producing strong, healthy offspring. But after her last, the 13th she'd given the farm, she simply stopped producing. Although she kept on rutting, she'd carefully avoided getting heavy. When Fox brought her into his office for an explanation, she'd simply said, "Enough." Her declaration made Fox laugh. Retirement wasn't an option for a functioning breeder. A woman bred until she couldn't anymore, and when she was done, she was sold into slavery or traded for a blaster.
"How do you feel, my dear?"
She pulled the chains away from her naked legs.
"Much better, my baron."
"After the birth, will you be ready to rejoin us on the farm?"
"Oh, yes, please."
Her empty, broken expression was replaced by a hopeful smile.
"You'll rut every night, then?"
"Whatever you say."
"And you'll like it?"
"Yes, anything. I just want to get out of here."
Fox smiled. Errant breeders always came around after just a single term in the basement. He knew that he had finally broken this one.
"You birthed me a child, and I'll free you from those chains."
"Thank you, Baron."
Fox stepped forward and took his right foot out of his slipper so she could kiss it. When she did, Fox turned to Norman Bauer, his accountant, who stood nearby watching.
"Make sure she's comfortable after the birth, and give her 3 days free time in the ward before she starts work on the farm."
Bauer opened the ledger and made a notation. The woman kissed the Baron's foot again with zeal.
"Oh, thank you, Baron. Thank you."
She was beginning to slobber over his toes. Fox pushed her away with his foot and slid it back into its slipper. Next along the wall was Melanie, a blonde-haired girl who'd never rutted before she'd come to the farm. She'd refused every one of the men assigned to her, and when it became clear she'd simply been putting off rutting, Fox moved her into the basement and had his four top studs rut her each night for a month until he was sure she'd gotten heavy. When she didn't bleed at the end of the 4 weeks, he knew he had succeeded. A few months later, she began showing signs of heaviness, and now she was more than 8 months along and could give birth at any time. However, what made this one special was that her sister, Clarissa, had been the only person to ever successfully escape Fox Farm, and the Baron was none too pleased about that fact. Fox approached her and smiled.
"And how are we today?"
Melanie looked up at the Baron with an expression of contempt, then lowered her head and spat on his slippers. Fox stood there looking at the stain and shook his head.
"As charming as ever, I see."
"Fuck you!"
Fox's fist shot out and caught her in the right eye. Her head snapped back and slammed against the brick wall she was chained to. Fox stood impassively as she swung her arms and legs to strike back at him, knowing the chains were too short to allow her to touch him. He let her continue her futile attempt to hit him, and when she was tired out, he struck her again under the left eye. This time, instead of fighting back, she fell unconscious under the cold concrete floor. Fox reached over and put a hand on her bloated belly. Everything still seemed to be progressing normally. Her fighting spirit would probably produce a similarly spirited offspring that would net him a top price at auction. A couple of blasters or a few barrels of diesel at the very least. The thought put a smile on the Baron's face. He started toward the next breeder when a sec man appeared at the door. It was Kingsley, his number three sec man after Grundwald and Fillinger.
It's the Outlanders, Baron. They're approaching from the north, heading toward the farm.
Is Grundwald still following them?
If he is, our lookouts haven't seen his party.
Good. Then the Outlanders probably haven't noticed them either.
Grundwald's men were the best sec men the farm had, and their talent for stealthy pursuit had once again given Fox an advantage over passing travelers. In addition, he had several options as to how to get his hands on the Outlander women.
If they approach the front gate looking to trade for food or lodging, let them in and bring them to me. If they pass us by, give them a polite wave and leave them for Grundwald and his men to handle farther down the road.
Yes, Baron.
After an hour's walk along the road, the companions came upon a huge steel fence topped with barbed wire. On the other side stood row upon row of neatly trimmed trees, all covered in green leaves and spotted with a magnificent bounty of ripening fruit. The friends stopped on the roadway, admiring the view, mouths watering.
Ah, now that is what a farm should look like. A virtual cornucopia of all good things to eat.
Oh, it looks almost pre-dark. Ryan, that fruit might be edible, not rat poison.
The farm was indeed well kept, Ryan thought, and the wire fence was an absolute necessity considering the number of hungry muties lurking in the area. Still, something about the fence didn't feel right to Ryan. He scanned the length that ran parallel to the road and saw something hanging off the fence a few hundred yards south of their position.
After that gopher meat, one of those apples would sure taste good. You think they'd miss any apples if I climbed over the fence and picked us a few?
No. No one go near that fence.
Why? What's wrong with it?
I just have a bad feeling about this.
Ryan headed south toward the object hanging from the fence. As the friends neared, it became obvious that it was the remains of a mutie. It was facing the fence as if in the middle of a climb, with its hands and feet tangled in the steel weave. There was little flesh left on its bones, and what there was had been burned and charred black.
An electric fence?
Ryan had never actually seen an electric fence, but he knew they'd existed, especially around military installations in pre-dark times.
That'd be my guess.
If it's electric, why don't I hear any hum?
Maybe the power's out.
It would seem to me that such a massive fence would require an equally massive amount of electricity to electrify it. And since electricity is currently harder to come by than gasoline, where would so much electricity come from?
Sounds to me like you'd like a few of those apples too, wouldn't you, Doc?
Christy suddenly pointed in the direction they had come.
Look over there!
Ryan turned and saw a couple of muties behind them, several hundred yards down the road, as if they'd been following the group. After they'd stopped, the muties moved off the asphalt and were approaching the northern corner of the fence, staring at the fruit on the other side through the heavy steel weave. Then the first mutie suddenly grabbed the fence and started to climb. The companions moved toward the muties for a closer look.
Nothing happened.
The second mutie scrambled up the fence behind the first, but when they were both halfway to the top, Ryan suddenly heard a dull mechanical thrum slowly rising in volume. The fence was being charged with electricity. When the current reached them, the mutants' bodies jerked and spasmed wildly, every one of their muscles twitching and writhing uncontrollably. The air was tinged with a sweet and pungent odor of burning flesh and the sound of sizzling meat. Orange and blue flames began to shoot out from the hands and feet of the muties, as well as from their other body parts that came in contact with the fence. The muties' hair and eyebrows burned away like flash powder, the ashes falling to the ground like dirty snow.
Why don't they just let go?
Because they can't. Their muscles are in total spasm. They can't control them to release their hold on the fence.
Eventually, the hum stopped. The muties fell limp against the fence, their burned hands and feet curled around the steel mesh, refusing to let go. Their flesh had developed a hard outer shell and was producing tendrils of acrid gray smoke.
It's a terrible way to be chilled. The electricity isn't even the thing that kills you. It paralyzes your heart, shuts off your breathing, and boils the fat under your skin so you're cooked to death from the inside out. Maybe whoever's running this can turn the power on at will, and at different sections of the fence, wherever it's needed.
Or it's governed by motion sensors, turning on the fence whenever motion's detected.
Which may or may not mean that someone knows we're here, people. But let's just continue on, as if we seem nothing new here.
The companions began to move as the muties continued.